5, we have Charles Lee, the Chief Executive of the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. He will speak on Hong Kong's role in the internationalization of the renminbi. Then on October 12, we have Jeremy Boland, a qualified supervisory analyst, speaking on the potential pitfalls of securities research. And then after that, we have David Schlesinger, editor-in-chief of Reuters, who will be talking about news in the digital world with the journalism and journalists. And finally, we also have scheduled for October 20 a lunch with James Seung, professor of politics at New York University, whose talk, I believe, will be about Taiwan inside the Greater China miasma. But today I'm here to introduce you to Dr. Chen Siwo, one of contemporary China's most respected writers. His novels are characterized by defiance, black humor, and an interest in deviant sexuality. Chen is also one of China's most outspoken voices on issues around freedom of expression for writers. A child of the Cultural Revolution, Chen studied in the early 1980s with the mystery poetry school poet Shun Shaojin, who soon recognized Chen's talent. Because of his refusal to compromise on the style or political content of his work, Chen was to go nearly 20 years before his works could find publication. Active in the 1980s student democracy movement, in 1989, Chen left China to study overseas, just months before the Tiananmen Square incident. He was to spend 7 years in Japan, where to support himself while writing a comparative literature PhD thesis on the topic of S&M, Chen worked for a time as a mama-san in a Tokyo brothel. In 1996, Chen returned to China and started to publish his works on the internet, where they soon attracted the attention of the Chinese literati. In 2001, Chen won his first major award, the Chinese Literature Media Prize, with My Dissipation. In 2007, Chen's collection of novellas, Book of Offences, which includes I Love My Mum, was published. For some, this collection represents the pinnacle of Chen's writing career to date. Chen is a native of Fujian and currently teaches comparative literature at Fuzhou Normal University, and he continues to be a prolific writer. So please welcome Dr. Chen Siwo. Thank you very much for your warm welcome. Allow me to start by talking about my father. My father survived the Cultural Revolution. He was not a revolutionary rebel. He belonged to the Protect the Emperor faction.
他不是保毛泽东的。 而是保当时在台上的那些领导，其实他是想保持现状，所以他在文化大革命期间，他受到了造反派的追赶，东躲西藏。我的童年许多时候是没有父亲在身边的。That
did not mean protect Mao Zedong. Rather, it referred to the leaders who were already in power. That is, he supported preservation of the status quo. The revolutionary rebel faction pursued him relentlessly. So I saw very little of my father during that period.
但是他并非保守分子，他也有一腔热血。那为什么要做保皇派呢？那是因为他必须选择，要么造反，要么保皇。他处在中国历史上最严酷的时期，没有逍遥的自由。He
was by no means a conservative, yet he chose to protect the Emperor faction because he was forced to make a choice. It was either join the revolutionary rebels or protect the Emperor. He found himself in the cruelest dynasty in Chinese history, one that curtailed the freedom to ignore politics.
经历过那种怎么做也不行的年代，我父亲呢，至今仍然心有余悸。好在现在好像可以远离政治而生活了，中国人。
Having lived through an era in which every choice was predestined to be wrong, my father continues to live in fear. Luckily, nowadays, a person can avoid being dragged into politics and still survive.
所以当我的父亲见到我在报刊上发表了一些言论，他简直惊呆了，晚上都睡不着觉。他说，如果放在他过去那种年代，我少说也是右派。是的，其实当初的右派并没有说出什么反党的言论来，他们其实是热爱共产党，他们是希望共产党好。
When my father first saw my writings in print, he was so scared he couldn't sleep. A few years earlier, he said, I'd have been at the very least branded a cultural-revolutionary rightist. Indeed, the rightists of the 1950s never uttered anything counter-revolutionary. They actually worshipped the Communist Party and wanted the best for the party.
在我父亲眼睛里面，我是不可思议的。他是反对我写作，也确实，我曾经长期无法发表作品。我从上个世纪八十年代就开始写作，但是的话呢，我不能够歌功颂德，因为政府希望，党和政府希望我们写光明。
In my father's eyes, what I'm doing is incomprehensible. He was dead against me writing, and indeed, for many years, I was unable to publish anything at all. I began to write in the 1980s, but I was incapable of producing in the genre of sing praise and extol virtue that the government desired.
即使写的官员不好，比如说党委书记，也只能够写党委书记是好的，党委副书记是不好的，并且要加上一个光明的尾巴，也就是最后都好起来了。
The requirement that even if a bad official, say a party secretary, were described, it could only be a deputy party secretary that was evil, never the chief, and the positive ending was mandatory.
但是我坚持认为，文学就是必须写黑暗的，只有写黑暗，文学才能存在。理由之一就是人性是黑暗的，文学就是写人性，这就是人生归根结底是黑暗的。无论多么荣华富贵，我们每个人最后的结局都是死亡，生命的本质就是绝望。第三是人们或多或少或者有意无意的都在遮蔽这种黑暗，文学就要撕开这种黑暗。
I firmly believe that literature must describe the dark side, and only by doing so will literature continue to exist. Firstly, human nature is dark, and literature is about human nature. Secondly, life is dark. Irrespective of how wealthy a person is, in the end, we all die. The essence of life is despair. Thirdly, people to a greater or lesser extent block out this despair. Literature breaks through the mist.
我还曾经被要求把我小说中的黑暗的事情的背景改在香港或者台湾，因为中国大陆是不可能发生这种事情，他们认为。当然我不干，结果呢，二十年几乎没有发表作品。后来终于能发表一些作品了，但是仍然是经过大量的删改。至今我几乎没有一部作品不经过删改，有的在出版之后还被禁，至今有四部作品被禁。
I was once instructed to rewrite a story and set the negative elements in Hong Kong or Taiwan. I refused, and for 20 years was virtually unable to publish anything. Eventually, when I was published, it was only after extensive cuts and changes. To this day, all my works have been cut and altered. Some were banned after publication, and four still are.
那些发表我作品的出版社或者杂志社也是战战兢兢。我曾经问一个杂志社的主编，到底有没有具体的规定，哪一些能写，哪一些不能写？他说，有时候是有，但是更多的时候是没有。
My publishers are jittery too. I once asked the editor of a literary magazine, "Are there actually any regulations that stipulate what can and cannot be written about?" According to him, sometimes there are, but mostly there are not.
没有的时候怎么办呢？只能靠出版机构自己去把握。先自我审查，然后出版了再由一批审读员来审查。中国是有审读员制度的，出版机构为了不出事，只能够自己审查严格一点，再严格一点，那这就更可怕了，是无形的恐惧。
In that case, publishers have to exercise their own judgment. First, they do an internal review. Then, after publication, the censors review it again. Yes, China does have censors. To avoid trouble,publishers make their internal reviews very severe. This is an even more dangerous invisible threat.
我的博客也是经常被删。我曾经问责任编辑说，你们不是设有敏感词吗？那你告诉我这些敏感词是什么，我在写的时候不用它就可以了吧。他回答说，虽然有敏感词，但是的话呢，像你这种人是不靠敏感词来审查的，你的整篇文章上面都有人来看，如果觉得他们觉得不行，就要我们把它拿掉。
My blog is frequently excised. I took my online editor to task about this, pointing out that they have a sensitive word filter. Just tell me the sensitive words and I'll avoid them. He replied that despite the filter, for people like me, the authorities also allocate someone to review the whole article, and they can order cuts to articles that do not contain sensitive words.
中国作家协会主席铁林，大家应该都知道，对着全世界说中国没有审查制度。我不知道，如果没有审查制度，这一切怎么发生的？
The president of the Chinese Writers Association, 铁林, who you probably have heard of, proclaimed to the world that China does not have a censorship system. If China does not have a censorship system, then how do these things occur?
在我身上发生了另一件事情，更能抽这个作协主席的耳光。2007年，我在台湾出版了我的小说《冒犯书》，在寄回大陆的时候被海关查禁了。
My experience of 2007 is another slap in the face to the president of the Writers Association. In 2007, my book of Offenses was published in Taiwan. The copies posted to me in China were confiscated by the customs.
之所以被禁，主要就是因为现在被翻译成英文的《我爱我妈》里面的这个片段，当时我提出了抗议，并且向法院提起起诉。
The reason was that the book contained the novella, now available in English at the desk over there, "I Love My Mom." I protested and initiated a court case.
这事呢被我父亲知道了，在我父亲看来，我简直是疯了。自从1949年以来，中国大陆被禁的书不禁其数，包括我在2006年被禁的另一部小说叫《抓痒》那部小说。所有被禁的作家，包括当初的我，都没有提出异议。禁你没商量，只能自认倒霉。如果没有把你这个人斩尽杀绝，已经是阿弥陀佛了。
When my father learned of this incident, he thought I was out of my mind.Innumerable books have been banned since 1949, including my 2006 novel Irritation. And very few authors have ever raised objections, including me. There was never any discussion, and you are lucky not to just be exterminated.
可是我却要反过来起诉他们，纠缠这个事情，他们都认为我是自讨苦吃。
But then I complicated matters by starting a court case. They all thought I was just asking for trouble.
那些查禁我的官员也觉得我不可思议。一个海关工作人员曾经厉声呵斥我说，因为你是作家还是教师，因为我是大学教师，我们已经对你够客气了，你不要太过分。一个海关的监察处长找我谈话，开口就说，我们从来都是这么办事的，你不要再闹了，闹也没用。如此蛮横。
The officials who banned my book do not understand what I'm doing either. A customs officer once shouted at me,Don't push your luck. We've been pretty lenient on you because you're a writer and a university lecturer. A senior supervisor in the customs brusquely said to me, This is the way we've always handled things. Stop making a fuss. It's useless.
那我就回答他，从来如此就是对的吗？没有用，那我就闹一闹。于是我就起诉他们。
I responded, Just because you've always done this doesn't make it right. Is it useless?Well, let's see what happens when I do make a fuss.
确实，他们真能够做到让我闹也没有用。比如说，宣传部门就给所有的媒体打招呼，不许介入这个案件。又比如说，法院就规定这个案件不公开审理，说是因为涉及了国家机密，不耐旁听。于是，这个审判就变成了秘密审判。
They say things like that because they really can prevent me from making a fuss. For example,The party's propaganda department instructed the media to not report the case. Moreover, the court decided against an open hearing because the case involved state secrets. They prohibited public attendance and held the hearing in camera.
在庭审的时候，我就问海关为什么禁我的书，这是最基本的问题。他们一直不告诉我，我以为在法庭上应该有机会获得答案。
At the hearing, I asked the customs why they confiscated my book. That's a pretty basic question, but they had never told me the reason. I thought the court was a proper forum for checking the facts of the case.
可是对方回答我说，这是国家机密，无可奉告，我们已经告诉法院了。于是呢，我回头问法院，你们为什么禁我的书？法庭也回答说，这是国家机密，不能告诉你。这样所谓的控辩阶段就根本不可能进行。
But the customs responded, this is a state secret that we cannot reveal to you. We will inform the court. I then asked the court, why did they confiscate my book? The court responded, it's a state secret, we cannot tell you. That meant the discovery stage of the proceedings could not continue.
我又问，你们说是国家机密，那么根据中华人民共和国保密法，应该有密集、涉密范围、解密时间，那么能不能告诉我呢？他们无一能够回答，庭审就这样草草结束了。虽然没有回答我任何质问，没有给我任何理由，但是仍然判我败诉。我上诉到高级法院，情形仍然一样，我有着被暗杀的感觉。
I then asked, if it's a state secret as you claim, then according to the state secrets law, there must be a classification of the level of secrecy, the scope of secrecy, and a time limit. Can you please inform me about those issues? No one was able to answer me, but they still ruled that I had lost the case. I appealed to a higher court, but the result was the same. I felt I had been assassinated.
我又给全国人民代表大会写信，但是没有得到任何答复。
I wrote to the National People's Congress, but received no response.
掌权者既然这样，不如不给我立案算了。但是奇怪的是，他们让我立案了。他们明明是专制，却又要打着法治国家的旗号。
If those in power are going to be like that, then they could have dismissed the case. But the strange thing is, they accepted it. They are obviously dictators.Yet they want to masquerade as ruling by law.
现在中国到处都可以听到依法治国这种说话，他们明明是在暗箱操作，但他们却又让我走过法律这个程序，为什么要演这么一场戏呢？
In China today, we constantly hear them go on about the rule of law. It was obviously a black box operation, yet they permitted me to go through legal proceedings. Why do they insist on this charade?
更有意思的是，他们不敢说查禁的理由，只说已经做出鉴定。什么鉴定？国家机密。那么是什么部门做出来的？当我追问的时候，他们也不敢把那个部门暴露出来，只说是有关部门。不告诉我的理由是什么呢？因为是国家机密。
Interestingly, while they did not even dare to reveal the reason for the ban, they said an assessment had been made. The assessment was, it's a state secret. But who made that assessment?They would not reveal which arm of government did it, saying only that it was made by the relevant authority, which itself was also a state secret.
后来我从私下里打听到，那个部门就是那个最不能见天日的部门。据说他做了鉴定，但是叮嘱海关不能说出来，所以海关也很叫苦。他们觉得是被推到了前台，有口难言。
Later, I learned through discreet inquiries that the relevant authority.Is the most secretive of all. I was informed that although they made the assessment, they had ordered the customs not to reveal their identity. The customs also complained of injustice. They were pushed up on the stage, but were gagged.
于是我们明白，这仍是一个专制体制，但这专制已经脆弱。世界潮流浩浩荡荡，顺之者昌，逆之者亡。中国不可能游离在外。其实，执政者特别清楚，所以那个有关部门就不敢露面。
From this we can see that although we are dealing with a dictatorship, this dictatorship has become fragile. The world is undergoing awesome changes. Go with the flow and flourish. Go against it and wither. And China cannot be the exception. Actually, the rulers of China know this, which is why the relevant authority is afraid to show its face.
所以法院也要走过场，所以宣传部门在禁止媒体报道这个事件的时候，只愿电话通知，不留下任何书面的文件。所以在查禁的部门呢，连查禁的理由都不敢说出来。
So the courts go through this charade, and the propaganda departments forbid the media to report on the case with merely a telephone call, fearful of leaving a paper trail. and the agency responsible for banning the book is wary of revealing the reason for the ban.
其实在最初，他们也透露出一些理由。他们说，我爱我妈是写的信。那这是理由吗？众所周知，中国是当今世界上性最开放的国家之一，性极为泛滥。就说出版物嘛，很多色情出版物堂而皇之的叫卖，没有人管。
Actually, they did reveal something. They initially pointed to sexual content. Is that a reason for banning a book? As everyone knows, China is now one of the most sexually open countries in the world. Sex is everywhere.And publications with sexual content are openly and legally on sale without restriction.
当然，政府有时候也来个扫黄打灰。不知道大家留意到没有，在中国，扫黄是跟打灰联系在一起的。什么叫打灰呢？就是打击辉煌出版物，他们总是联系在一起。
Occasionally, the government runs anti-pornography campaigns, but in China, they are always accompanied.By a campaign to crack down on illegal publications.
各个省市都有扫黄打灰办公室。其实扫黄只是一个幌子，打灰才是真正目的。而这里的灰，最后我们发现更多的是政治上的灰。被打的往往是不同的意识形态。扫黄成了对政治意见的一种打压。
Every province and every city has an office in charge of the campaign against pornography and illegal publications.Pornography is the pretext, but the true target is illegal publications. And these illegal publications are invariably political in nature, and inevitably, the books that are banned contain dissident ideas. The campaign against pornography has become a tool to oppress dissent.
明白地说，在我爱我妈里面，最让他们不舒服的是里面写的妓女，是一些地方经济发展的原动力。也就是说，中国的经济模式很多时候是妓女经济模式，只要能挣钱，从上到下，人们都很认可，都在苟且。
In fact, what made the authorities most uncomfortable about I Love My Mum was the passage saying that prostitution is the driving force in some local economies. That is to say, China's economic model is frequently a prostitution economy. All you need is money. From top to bottom, people are debauched.
当局其实也高兴这样子，因为大家如果都撞到被窝里面去，就没有人去关心社会正义了，社会就很和谐了。但是如果这个性冲击到社会制度，那就不能够容许了。但是这又不能够公开的说，他们没法说你的性是冲击了社会制度，所以只能用国家机密来搪塞。
The authorities actually encourage this because people are preoccupied and do not have time to think about social justice.That is the harmonious society the government espouses. But if debauchery damages their rule, it cannot be tolerated, so they are forced to prevaricate with an excuse of state secrets.
更有意思的是，在庭审的整个过程中间，查禁我的海关工作人员一直对我面带微笑。庭审过后，他们还试图跟我打招呼。这让我想起不久前在我身边发生另外一个事件，就三个中国网民因为代能发帖民庸。
It is noteworthy that during the court proceedings, the customs official who confiscated my book smiled at me. After the trial, he even tried to greet me. This reminded me of something that had recently happened. Three netizens who had voiced a grievance on behalf of someone else were arrested for slander.
在庭审的时候，为了不让人旁听，里面的话呢。就插满了很多的他们的公职人员，群众被阻止在国外法庭外面，警察挡住群众，但是那些警察呢也是面带微笑，他们小声对群众说：“请支持一下，我们也是没办法，是为了饭碗。”
At their trial, the courthouse was stacked with police officers to prevent the public from auditing the trial. The public was stopped outside the courthouse, and the police obstructed the public.But the police officers were all smiling. The officers said surreptitiously, please be understanding. We're here to protect our jobs. We didn't have a choice.
这是中国当今特殊的景象，就是谁都不想用为这个不合理的制度买单，谁都对这个制度不满。在当今中国，那些官员骂起制度来，比我们普通百姓更要咬牙切齿。他们是在竭力表明，这罪恶跟我无关，我也是受害者。 至少他们希望将来被清算的时候，他们能有一方说辞，说他们也是被逼无奈，能够逃脱审判。
Nowadays in China, no one is willing to risk their personal reputation to support the system, and everyone is fed up with it. Government officials actually complain more vociferously than ordinary citizens. They actively declare that this evil is not their doing, that they are actually victims of it. They hope that come the day of reckoning, they will be able to claim that they were forced to do things against their will and thus evade legal responsibility.
但是他们是无法逃避审判的。比如我的冒犯书事件，假如我能够得到得力的关系人，假如我能够对他们行贿，他们也许会给我网开一面。他们其实并不是那么在乎法令法规，那些法令法规他们只是把他们当尿壶，他们心里其实是没有法，只有利益。
But they cannot evade legal responsibility. In my court case, if I had sought a powerful backer or had been able to make some well-placed bribes, they would have been lenient on me. They are actually not particularly concerned about legal niceties. For them, laws and regulations are like a chamber pot. They only consider their own interests, not the law.
只是我，既没有钱，也没有关系，我也不愿意这样，所以他们就对我依法办事。他们是为了利益，他们为了利益可以放弃原则，却不去为了正义而放弃利益，为社会进步做点什么，所以他们仍然是有辜的。
I cannot play that game because I am not wealthy and I have no connections, nor do I want to play that game. And so they dealt with me according to the law. They can abandon principles for their own benefit, but will not abandon their own interests for justice or social progress. So they remain guilty.
其实就是最高层也是没有人愿意为这个制度承担责任的，更没有人愿意为曾经由别人做下的事承担责任，比如说对六四，现在已经没有人愿意去碰。
Even at the highest levels, no one is willing to take responsibility for the system, let alone for the actions of past leaders. For example, no one is willing to touch the issue of the June 4th incident.
执政者不愿意跟过去纠缠在一块，我觉得这是个好事，也是中国的希望。只要民间能够推动，可悲的是缺乏这种推动，谁都只在推卸责任。
As the current leaders don't want to be entangled in past issues, I believe there is hope, though there needs to be public pressure. Unfortunately, there is no momentum, only a shirking of responsibility.
推动的力量本来应该是知识分子，包括作家，但是我们的知识分子作家是怎样的呢？特别是作家刘晓波被判刑，崔玉平先生打电话，用打电话的方式来问一些知识分子的看法，其中有几个作家，那些作家的反应令我汗颜。
The driving force should be intellectuals, including writers. But what is the situation of our intellectuals, and especially our writers? When Liu Xiaobo was sentenced to 11 years, Cui Weiping did a telephone survey of some intellectuals, and the response of several writers leaves me ashamed.
很多作家受尽了审查制度的苦，但当我抗议当局查禁我的书的时候，北京一家媒体采访一批作家，问他们对此事的看法，除了严连科一个人之外，所有的作家都不敢表态，你说他们是无辜还是有辜？
Many writers have suffered under the censorship system. When my book of offenses was banned and I protested against the censorship system, a Peking publication asked some writers for their views, but not a single writer besides Yan Lian Ke was willing to take a stand. Are they innocent or guilty?
其实我们不是不能够，而是不作为。你抗争了就会对政府有所震慑，你不抗争，他们当然就乐得不便。权益不是靠他们施舍的，要靠我们自己去争取。事实证明，现在中国的维权运动确实推动了中国社会的发展，也推动了中国政府在进步。
We are not incapable, we just do not act. Resistance will deter the authorities, but if you don't resist, the authorities will not change of their own accord. We cannot wait for them to bestow rights, we must fight for them. It is clear that the human rights movement in China is actually propelling the government forward.
当然我也并不那么乐观，我今天看了今天的广告，说我是不死的螳螂。其实的话呢，我不能说我不死。 但是我相信这已经不是毛的时代，这是一个博弈的时代。
Of course, I'm not hugely optimistic, and I cannot guarantee that I can stay out of jail. But if I do find myself in jail, times have changed. It is no longer the Mao era, it is the era of give and take.
当然，既然是博，就要有理有据，用什么理？用法律。当然，我也知道执法者会利用一些手段来对付我们，比如说你跟他讲法律，他就跟你耍流氓；你跟他耍流氓，他又回过头来跟你讲法律。
Of course, this new game has rules. The rules are the legal system. I am well aware that the people enforcing the law are good with their tricks. When we use the law, they will resort to thuggery. If we try our hand at thuggery, they will take legal action.
但是终归是有讲法律的时候，终归有面对公众的时候。只要公众睁大眼睛，执法者是不可能肆无忌惮的。他们也害怕，在当今中国，政府是有所忌惮。
But when we use the law, they have to face the public. And if the public is watching closely, the people enforcing the law cannot be completely unscrupulous, because they too are afraid of public opinion. China is in an explosive situation.And the government has its concerns.
比如我的冒方书事件，据说他们现在福州的海关是已经很后悔撞上我了。他们后悔说怎么会查到我？一个芝加哥大学的学者前一段时间去采访他们，他们说他就是指我。当初如果把邮件寄到我的单位，而不是寄到家里，他们就会注意一些，不会去抽查我。
I have heard that the Fuzhou Customs rather regret confiscating my book of offences.They regret that they had the misfortune of doing a spot check on the package posted to me. A scholar from Chicago University recently interviewed the customs and was told that if only I had the package sent to my university rather than my home, the customs would have been more careful and not done a spot check.
他们好像也记住了我的名字。那之后，我的另一部小说《抓痒》在法文版出版了。样书从巴黎寄回来的时候，也没有。经过他们的查问，顺利地到达我的手里，没有被查。
They seem to have remembered my name, because soon after that, the French galley proofs of my book Irritation arrived without a hitch.
这就是舆论的力量，也就是你们的作用。
This is the power of public opinion, and that power is also in your hands.
谢谢。
Okay, we've got about 10 minutes for Q&A. Could I implore you to keep them brief and simple so that Dr. Wang Ling can render them quickly and easily into Chinese for Dr. Chen, and then I'll try and bring them out the other side. Wait for the microphone and introduce yourself. Anyone first? Ah.
Thanks.I Love My Mum is a crime story about incest and murder, but according to the jacket, it is also a political metaphor, like a lot of your books. So I have two questions. Firstly, could you explain a little bit about the political metaphor in I Love My Mum? And secondly, could you maybe tell us why you find sex is a good topic to use to explore political issues? Thank you.
从表面上看，《我爱我妈》这本书是一本关于乱伦、性跟谋杀的一本书。可是从那个书的封底上，我们可以看到，其实它是一个政治的一个隐喻。我的问题有两个，第一个是否可以请你讲一下关于这个政治隐喻的这个问题？第二个是为什么您会选择用性这样一个手段来表达这种政治的隐喻？
我先讲第二个哈。
I'll talk about the first part, second part first.
在中国大陆，表面上看，性禁忌是很严重的。
In China, the taboo against sex superficially seems to be quite complete.
但实际上，像我刚才讲过的，是世界上性最开放的国家之一。
But as I said earlier, China is possibly one of the most sexually open countries in the world.
只是这个性只能够做，不能够说。
However, this is a country where you can do but not tell.
谁说了就会遭到了攻击。 被指责是不道德的。
If you talk about it, you're in deep trouble.
就我在 我爱我妈这里面写的这个主人公，他实际上的最大的问题，他并不是说对他母亲实施了性侵犯，而是的话呢，他说出来了。
Okay, in my book, the main character is
对他母亲实施性侵犯，说出来了。
Yeah, his most severe crime is to talk of having sexually abused his mother.
因此他被指责为不道德，但是要知道
for this reason, he was accused of being immoral.
但是要知道，这世界上谁是道德的呢？在这个不道德的环境中间，做了不道德的事情而勇于说出来，承认自己做了不道德的事情。但是在这个要知道，这个世界上谁是不道谁是道德的呢
？So in this world, who is a moral person?
在这个不道德的环境中间，世界上做了不道德事情而勇于说出来。
In this immoral environment, the person who speaks of immoral actions,
那应该算是勇敢的道德的人。
Should be considered a brave and moral person.
关于性与政治的关系
，the relationship between sex and politics，
我想性是更深层次的一种政治，更深层次的说，它是对政治体制一种破坏。
Okay.
At a rather deeper level, and sex is kind of a has a more deep relation with the politics.
从当年的美国的嬉皮士到当初的共产党人。
From the appearance of hippies in America until
the
to the Communist Party's arrival.
共产党人在延安，他是以反体制的形式来性解放的。
From the Yan'an era in the Communist Party's ancient history, they had an attitude towards sex that was reflected in this.
革命如果没有革命到身体，就是不彻底的革命。
A revolution without liberation of the body is not a complete revolution.
但是共产党人一旦掌握了政权，成了执政者，他就开始禁止性。
But as soon as the communists took power, the habits of the Yan'an area changed, and they began to completely and utterly control sex.
所以我们知道，性是一个时代、一个社会很好的一个窥视口，一个看这个时代、看这个社会的一个地方。
So we can see that sex is a window on the politics of different eras.
性是跟体制紧密相关的，某种意义上就是性政治。
Sex and the political system are intimately involved. 、yeah, we've got another question over the back here. If you could identify yourself, keep it short and sweet because.
Hi, 你好，秦先生。Linda Pen from Open Magazine. 我想问一个问题，就是你对最近中美关系的有什么看法？你老搭的那条船，中日的，因为船是福州的。
This is a question asking about the Chinese-Japanese relationship.
对中日关系的看法，我当然是爱国的。
In this question of the relationship between Japan and China, I am of course a patriot.
但是应该看到为什么会产生这样的结果。
But we still have to examine how did this incident come about.
是因为历来的统治者拖延解决钓鱼岛问题。
It's because for years the rulers have delayed resolving an historical issue.
当初说的是搁置争议，就是保持现状。
Initially it was talking, there was talk of maintaining the status quo.
既然保持现状，那就是日本人现在还占着这个岛。那你的话呢？接近他，你当然是侵犯他的领土。
If that is the case, then the Japanese have control of that territory, and if you intrude upon it, then you are in the wrong.
另一方面，刚才讲过，这些人是我老家的人，是我们福建人。
From another point of view, the fishermen who went to the Jiaoyus are my from my native Fujian province.
这些人，我们福建的渔民打鱼，本来的话是可以到台湾海峡来打鱼的。
Initially, Fujian fishermen could go into the Taiwan Straits to fish.
但是台湾当局对台湾海峡进行了封锁。
But the Taiwan authorities have closed off the Taiwan Straits to fishermen.
他们同样也用炮舰来封锁渔民的生路，就生存之路。
Okay. They too are willing to use gunboats to prevent the fishermen from their livelihood.
所以这些可怜的渔民只能够往东北方向去打鱼，那里就有钓鱼岛。
So these fishermen are unfortunately forced to move further afield, and all that's left to them is the area around the Diaoyu Islands.
中国人从来就没有办法让自己的政府用炮舰来维护自己的。
The Chinese have never been able to use gunboats to protect their own people.
现在出了这个事情，海峡两岸都出来作秀。作秀。
So now both sides of the Taiwan Straits are using this incident to make a show of things.
我觉得应该思考一下深层次的原因。
I believe that we should consider a diplomatic resolution to this issue.
谢谢。
Thank you. Okay, I think we've got time for one more. Perhaps we could return to literature, politics, anyone? Please, wait for the microphone.
Hello, Melissa Lam, Chinese University. My question is,to what extent do you find that your university position protects you from further repercussions from the state itself?
我是中文大学的，那我的问题是，您觉得您在作为大学教师这样的一个职位，对你就是能是不是能够进一步帮助你，或者是不会进一步受到中国政府的审查？
实际情况跟你想的恰恰相反。
The actual situation is probably the exact opposite of what you are thinking.
在中国跟体制联系在一起有两个好处。
There are in China two benefits for being connected to the system.
一方面是有比较稳定的收入。
On the one hand, it's a stable income.
另一方面是能够得到一定的保护。
And on the other hand, a certain level of protection.
但是这两个都要基于一个基础。
But both of these are based on a single foundation.
就是你不反体制。
That you do not oppose the system.
如果反体制，那是更糟。
If you oppose the system, you're even worse off being in a university.
我想提问你一个问题。在全世界大多数的地方呢，乱伦都是犯罪，但在中国内地，在中国大陆，乱伦并不是犯罪。你对这个问题怎么看？
Throughout the world, incest is a criminal offense, but the statute books of China do not specifically mention incest. What are your feelings on this issue?
罪恶它是有一个参照的平台的，是有一个参照系统的。
Crimes
do have a kind of reference system.
比如说，在普遍官员贪污的社会里面，官员普遍都贪污的社会。
So for example, with innumerable corrupt officials.
一个官员他只贪污了100万。
Who an official who only embezzles 1 million?
虽然他是犯罪
is although he is a criminal,
但是他已经是廉洁的官员
But he is
considered nowadays a rather humble and modest official. 在一个性泛滥的国家社会里面
in a sex that is in a society that is overflowing with sex，
乱伦到底是多大的罪？
How big a crime is incest？
是值得探究的。
It's something worth thinking about carefully。Do you want to go on? You can stay. Usually people start running to the door at this time. But if you've got any more questions, please. Yes, one more over here. And then after this question, perhaps Dr. Chen will be willing to sign copies of his book that you buy at the door.
Jim Seymour, Chinese University of Hong Kong. On the Yarantai or Senkaku Islands, you said that they just settled by diplomacy, which I don't see much hope for. Why not let it be decided by international law and let it go to the world court?
Mr.但是我知道用和平的方式去解决对现在中国稳定肯定是有好处的。
Well, you can ask the Chinese government that. As far as I'm concerned, as long as there is a peaceful resolution to this situation, I think it will be beneficial to the development of China.
作为在中国国内生活的人，国际法上对钓鱼岛事件怎么看，我们真的不知道。
Living in China, it's difficult for us to understand the international feelings towards the Diaoyu Island incident. Well, in that case, I'd like you all to thank Dr. Chen in the usual manner, and we will give him a surprise gift from the store. Thank you all very much for coming, and if you would like Dr. Chen to sign his book, he'll wait here for a few minutes.
Good to see you.